This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Live and Learn. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In Malaysia, 12 kids drop out of school every hour, an alarming statistic given our aspiration to achieve Vision 2020. Cal Joff, co-founder and director of Tandemic, is back for his monthly show on social innovation. And here in the studio with him and I are to explain a new initiative which seeks to fill in the education gap called Give.my. Our Give.my's co-founder, Felix Chong, and Nazira Rosli, an English teacher at SK Putrajaya. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Cal, perhaps you can start by explaining what Give.my actually is.
Sure. So Give.my is an online platform where people can directly support teachers' projects across the country. So if you're a teacher who is looking for materials to do a magnetism experiment in your class but you can't get them, or you know, you're really looking for a way to get the kids out of their community to see other kinds of career opportunities, that requires a little bit of funding. And so we've created Give.my as a platform where people can directly fund those projects by teachers.
Felix, how did the idea for this come about?
I actually started off as an initiative. I started Skolaku way before I even came back from the UK. I thought, like, I just wanted to do something for my previous school, which was SMK Taman Melati. So I thought I'd just set up a website, consult with my English teachers and ask, what do you really want to do for your students? And she said, in 20 years of teaching, I've never gotten funding for an outside school trip. So I did just that, and it was an overwhelming response. Like, people in the community was very generous, and that's how I started off.
Do you think our education system, or at least our teachers and our schools, are ready for something like this?
I think in today's age, where we have the Ubers and the Airbnbs, where they all adopt a sharing economy, I think we're at this age where a sharing philanthropy is very much a thing that we can easily adopt. Just 2 weeks, we already have 212 donors, and we've raised almost 25K. I think that's an amazing feat and speaks volumes about Malaysians and what they want to do to help the education system.
Something that tends to come up in this show, I think, is the kind of slight friction that can exist between the old guard and new guard, especially when it comes to education, because it's not as if every teacher, it's not as if all the teachers are 20-somethings, neither are all teachers 50-somethings. You know, you have a collection of both in schools. So do you find that there is any friction or any difference of understanding or adoption when it comes to this sort of thing?
I think both the former and the latter can learn from one another. So just to share an analogy from this teacher I was speaking about. She said, not only do things like Give.my, these platforms that come in and empower teachers, make them help their students better, but it makes them reignite their passion in teaching altogether again. Because most often than not, even young teachers encounter this. They realize that as years goes by and they teach day by day, they realize that admin work is a huge burden on them, which really inhibits what they can do and realize the potentials of their students. So things like this make them realize that, wow, I really reignite my passion for teaching again, and I want to share with the younger teachers and so forth, vice versa.
Because your possibilities open up, right?
Yes.
When you're able to do more things. Why did you choose to partner Simply Giving?
I think Cal approached me one day and we went to Mama and we talked about it. And he
where all the best ideas happen.
Yeah, where all the best ideas happen, you know. He just shared his vision of what he wants Give.my to be. And I think it aligns with what I wanted Skolaku to be as well. So I think with a great team we have on board, we all like-minded people, and we know what exactly the cause is supposed to be. And that's what really motivates us to do this.
Yeah, I think that we really wanted to build on top of existing platforms as well. So this is, in a sense, it's a prototype, and we're just getting started. I think we calculated that at 5%, in order to cover the costs of building a platform, we'd have to raise something like $2 million to break even. So we just thought it would be better to partner and work with other people who are already building the underlying infrastructure for this. But it is different from sort of existing crowdfunding platforms. So some people have asked, you know, well, why? What's wrong with the existing platforms? And I would say that it's not that there's something wrong with them, but if you're a teacher and you go and use Indiegogo or you go and use one of the existing crowdfunding platforms for your project, you have to build the donor base from scratch. And so our thesis in building this and starting this out was that we could really build a community of interest, a group of people that repeatedly donates and is actually very strongly interested in improving education around this, so that when a new teacher came on board, they wouldn't have to build that whole donor base from scratch.
So you, Cal and Felix, are working together on this. Could you explain how, you know, what's the basis of the partnership? Who does what?
Sure. So, well, we have a couple of key partners, I would say, involved. So it's myself, it's Felix, it's Oga. She was a leadership development officer at Teach for Malaysia, now working with us. So Oga is really works on the community management. So she brings in teachers and speaks with them and onboards them into the program. Felix is a multiple times over entrepreneur, very internet savvy guy, and so he's really been helping us a lot with the marketing. And my role has been sort of contributing manpower and helping set part of this up. MDEC has also come in to provide some support to help us get this off the ground.
As you mentioned, there's a glut, I would say, you know, of similar sites, similar-ish sites online, in that you have people donating for something they believe in or for something that they want. Crowdfunding is not new anymore. This particular initiative sounds similar to DonorsChoose.org in the US. What are the key differences between Give.my and DonorsChoose?
I'd say that there aren't many big differences. I mean, Donors Choose is really, for us, an inspiration in the United States, and we saw that it was working so well, and people were so passionate about it, and it was a great model. And so we said, well, it'd be fantastic to have that here. We spoke to some teachers, Felix, Oga, and so on and so forth, and there was just a great deal of enthusiasm about it.
Nazira, how did you hear about Give.my?
Actually, Cal just texted me and asked me if I need any fundraising. And then immediately I thought of my zoo project, and that we have stumbled a bump where we can't actually afford going out from Putrajaya. So I thought that's a good opportunity for me to just do it.
Zoo project? Tell us more.
I'm teaching the kids with that haven't grasped basic literacy skills. So there's these 23 kids, and then they've been working so hard this year, and I'm very proud of them. And I thought of a zoo project of just getting them out of the classroom and then start learning outside, and then giving them an idea that you don't have to be in school just to learn. I mean, you can learn anywhere. So I started thinking about how to create a project where they can go outside and then do tasks where they start learning and have fun at the same time.
You mentioned that you hit this bump where you couldn't afford to kind of go outside of Putrajaya. Why is that? I mean, how much does it cost to bring a bunch of 23 students outside and have a day or have a program?
It costs around 1.5K, but the school, usually for school trips, you have to find on your own. You have to get from the parents. And surprisingly, it's hard for the parents to even pay for 50 ringgit fine. So I can afford 1.5, so I decided to use the fundraising to do fundraising.
You've surpassed that initial target. Do you feel any sense of responsibility or the need to produce tangible returns, you know, for children to come home and then you can say, like, look, this is what they've learned?
I do. I'm now making more tasks. I mean, it's not more of a task, just activities that you're going to do at the zoo, rather than they just going to go and watch an elephant and say, ooh. We want them to start interviewing people and start talking in English. That's one of the main idea for them to start using the language outside. So we're going to do an interview, make a video there maybe, and then for them to maybe do a book, like a zoology book there. So we'll see. I'm still working on it.
You said that when Cal asked whether you needed funding, you immediately had this this, you know, thing that had been percolating for a while.
Yeah.
How much of teaching do you think nowadays is perhaps slightly stifled by the fact that you might not have funds? You might have all these programs, but you just don't have the funds.
I think for me personally, that there's a lot that I wanted to do. I just can't do it. But I think that if we can find a way, usually teachers, we try to find a way, try to get money from lots of places. But if there's a platform where, you know, it's specifically for teachers, you know, and for people that cares about education, I think it's much more easier.
So when is the project going to take place?
It's going to be end of October, the end of October. So it's on the 28th, I think.
I'm speaking today with Kyle Joff, Felix Chong, and Nazira Rosli. They're discussing Give.my, or rather crowdfunding and crowdsourcing education. Up next, we find out the kinds of projects that are allowed on the platform. You are listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You are listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me today, Kyle Joff, Felix Chong, and Nazira Rosli. We are discussing Give.my, which is a crowdfunding initiative to help teachers fund programs that they might not otherwise be able to. What are the kinds of projects that are allowed on the platform?
For now, the only limitation we have is that it comes from school teachers. So that's our priority now. We're just trying to get on board teachers that want to fund their classroom projects. So we have projects that range from bringing the kids to a heritage site in Guatambon, with like Nazira's project, the trip to the National Zoo. And we have even more really, really basic programs such as just setting up a basic library or a reading or a learning space for the kids in the classroom. And that's it's just a range of projects that can range from one end to the other. And it's just the only limitation is we allow school teachers to come on board on Give.my.
You talked earlier a little bit about having a ready donor base, you know, that being one of the key points of this platform. Who are the people who are keen to donate, by and large, to education initiatives?
I think most Malaysians really, if one thing we're definitely should be proud of is we're very vocal in what we, in our opinions and what we want to do for Malaysia, and whether it's bad or good, we always want to voice out our frustrations or how we want to do something about it. I think there's always been a missing outlet where, you know, we're always complaining about, you know, it all boils down to education, you know, all these things. If only we had a better education system or something that could empower things like that. And finally, this is one of the platforms that can do that. You know, every contribution from $1 to $10 will make an impact, because this results won't be intangible anymore. When you fund a project, you get to see after the fundraising period is over, you get to see how it's executed and you see tangible results, and it makes you have a sense of belonging that you actually contributed to this cause, you know. So I think the donor base for now, it's pretty much from our various networks that me and Cal have. But it's just expanding more and more that we have a platform so readily available.
I understand that you're focusing on school teachers, but is it open only to school teachers?
I'll never say never. But I think even if we somehow one day open up options to this platform, I think we would still want to just prioritize on school teachers no matter what happens. I think that's our main priority.
Yeah, we've had some interest from different parties. I think one group that would be very interesting to work with soon is refugee teachers. So not exactly school teachers, but learning center teachers. Because people are donating directly to projects, we do want to make sure that the projects that are going on the platform are quality projects, that they are indeed genuine causes. In many cases, it's not really easy to run a scam on Give.my, because actually all the donors are expecting to see, you know, something out of it. So whether it's thank you cards from the students or you know, a report back from the teacher on the event, these are all things that as someone who's put up a project, you have a responsibility to produce. And so that's both the benefit of creating a direct funding directly a project, and also some of the outputs that you get out of it.
So there are then actual direct mechanisms to make sure that the funds collected aren't abused?
Yeah.
Okay. So Nazira, in your case, not to put any pressure on you, but what are you planning to kind of to show to the funders? You mentioned earlier maybe possibly a book. You know, what other thoughts have been?
Not only there's going to be a book, I'm hoping that the book project will go on. And then we're going to make sure there's a video of what the kids are doing on the exact day. So it's not, we're going to show that there is learning taking place and what are they doing. So so let the funders know what the kids are doing.
What happens if the fundraising target is not met? You know, say I'm a school teacher, I put up a program, I've given you all the details, but for some reason people just aren't responding. What happens then?
So it depends on how far the fundraising has gone. So if the teacher has hit 50%, we disperse the funds to the teacher anyway, and they figure out a way to shrink the project. We've seen this done before. Oga herself ran a very large fundraiser when she first crowdfunded something for her students, and then sort of downscaled it when she didn't meet the target. And so if it's below 50%, then we return the money back to the donors.
How much time is given to raise the funds?
So it really depends on the project. Right now, the cycle that we're going through is about a month long cycle. But we don't see any reason that, you know, teachers couldn't keep fundraisers open for 2 months, or we wouldn't run anything sort of longer than that, because I think it's very difficult to sustain the interest and commitment. But because people want to see progress in the fundraiser. So far, I have to say it's been really amazing. We have several projects on the platform fully funded. And one of the things that's happened is also people have taken up projects as ambassadors. So people like you and I can do that. Dr. Tini Zainuddin took up a project. She decided to be an ambassador for one. And if she hit the target, she would dye her hair gray. Completely gray, which she has done. And so that's fantastic. That's the story of one of the projects. In fact, they went beyond their sort of fundraising target.
An ambassador is one way of going about it. Felix, how else would you suggest making a fundraising project on Give.my a success? You know, what are the hot tips to kind of capitalize on the platform?
I think for now, since Give.my is still pretty young, we employ like a startup mentality where we try and we just take each other's opinion on what we can do to market or make the biggest reach for Give.my. So far, we've been running a Be a Hero campaign. Like, if all this negativity that's been circulating in Malaysia, thought sometimes, you know, it's, why don't we fill people's news feed with like encouraging news, small gestures that people do every day that go unnoticed. And so like, things like, you know, getting coffee for someone, you know, buying someone their next meal, or just calling the SPCA to pick up an adopted, there's a stray puppy on the road or something like that. Or you could directly fund Give.my, like a small gesture, even if it's 5 ringgit, 10 ringgit. Or if it don't want to go the monetary road, like Cal just mentioned, you know, Dr. Hartini volunteered to be an ambassador for these kind of projects. I think just inserting a sense of fun and enjoyment into these kind of things is what would really make campaigns successful.
It's hard to put a dollar value on watching a woman dye her hair gray.
Well, if Cal says it, like if he raises 50,000, like he's gonna shave all his facial hair away, like which he's never done before.
Yeah, I'll look like I'm 15.
Okay, so once you decided not to go the route of building your own platform, which would have cost you 2 million, what is the business model behind Give.my? How did you build that? How did you decide, okay, this is the way we're going to take? Are you financially sustainable?
Not yet. I think our thinking is kind of the marathon of this. And so this is, for us, one of our big learnings around building platforms like Hati, the online, the social enterprise data, the NGO database, and Do Something Good. It's that to build up these platforms actually takes a really long time. And so instead of running a sprint where we spend a lot of cash, you know, or resources anyway, trying to get something off the ground and making it super big, we need to be able to run something on a very minimal resource base. And so, so you know, the three of us and plus the team, the operations team, Z and Tu at our office, are really focusing on how can we automate a lot of the components of the platform? How can we hop on top of other networks to actually make this something that doesn't require a lot of money to keep on going on a continuing basis?
Nazira, looking at the schoolroom, you know, what would you say is your biggest challenge within the classroom?
Getting the kids interested in the lesson. I think they have problems where they can't pay attention for a long time. So I have to constantly make new ways of lessons and just making them interested and just making them focus in their class.
How much of that involves, you know, work outside the classroom? We think teachers work inside classrooms only. But how much of your job is actually taking place outside?
I'd say about half of my job is outside, because I'm involved a lot with co-curricular activities. So sometimes I'm not even in the school.
Do you find that having working with co-curricular activities, coming up with programs like that, actually help you stimulate ideas as to how to get the kids interested, since that's such a big challenge?
It does, because you get to meet new people and new teachers, and different teachers have different ways of teaching. So then you get new ideas, and sometimes we start talking about our students, and then from there we can get ideas on how to maybe overcome a problem.
With this being a marathon and not a sprint, how do you sustain momentum in a project like this? Are you worried about that at all?
I think, as cheesy as it may sound, I think the whole team is just filled by passion, just making it going on and on. And just the sense of reward we get from seeing a project completed, or the sense of reward we get, like, people being showing such encouraging responses to something like this, which they can never get something back from. But in the long run, they can actually look back and say, like, I had a hand in doing that. I had a hand in making that classroom go to that trip or complete this project or stuff like that. And it's just, it's amazing. Like, there's no monetary value you can put a value on that. So I think the momentum is just, like Kyle just said, you know, one step at a time. You know, want to keep it moving and find out ways on how we can make it self-sustainable. And that's the key, I think.
At the moment, the fundraising total is capped at 5,000 ringgit. Why that amount?
I think so far, based on all the responses we've gotten from teachers, hasn't been anything that's more than that amount. And secondly, I think it's more manageable, so that it doesn't seem too overwhelming for donors.
Or here's 200,000, go reform the education system.
Yeah,
right.
Let's go. You know, we're not going to say it's going to be 5,000 forever, but I think for now, like, let's see what we can do with these 12 projects first, and then we'll move on from the next phase.
Money can be raised online and offline, and it seems to me that online would be something that's kind of easier to control because it's within the platform. What does offline donation mean?
So offline donations are cases where someone might have directly banked in money to an ambassador. So we've had that, and so the ambassador then puts the money into our account and we give it to the teacher. It can also mean, in some cases, people do events or programs to support their fundraiser or whatever it is. So in Penang, for example, Kalit Kalit, which is a community event for people who are interested in the social space, they actually fundraise at the event. So you can go and look at the projects. We did the same thing with Do Something Good Connect here in KL last week. So people could see the projects and they could directly give money to them.
And in the end, does that count towards that final achieved amount?
Yes, it does. So we go ahead and update that on the back of the platform.
Okay. Nazira, will you be turning to Give.my again in the near future once October has come and gone?
I think so. I have a few projects in the back of my head and hoping to do it again.
What do you think led to you not just hitting your targets but exceeding them? I mean, earlier Felix talked about how you might run a good campaign. What do you think it was for you?
I think it was a good campaign, in a way, because I had people within the education system that helped me share. And then most of them, when I see the list of the donors, you can see the list. And then I realized that most of them are like from the education sector. They're just trying to give back and then see what they can do to help.
One of the things that we found with some of the really successful campaigns on the platform so far is that they're teachers who've built a following. So the teachers who share stories about their classrooms and their kids on Facebook, people really enjoy and find that very interesting. And so when the opportunity comes for people to contribute to that teacher's projects, we've seen people give quite sizable amounts of money, sometimes just 1,000 ringgit in one go to support a project. So that following that they've built, as a teacher, you're using social media to talk about your students, can be hugely helpful.
And finally, what message would you all like to leave with us on the subject of Give.my, but also on the subject of crowdfunding education?
Well, I'd encourage everyone, of course, to go to Give.my and contribute to a project. There are some really wonderful projects to choose from there. And to keep in mind that this isn't just about supporting a teacher's project, and it's not just about supporting the education of students, but it's really about returning a bit of a sense of empowerment to teachers, that teachers today in our school system are very constrained, and teacher passion is one of the key things that leads to great education. And so for us, a platform like this can really help make that happen, and all everyone's contributions add up to empowering teachers.
I would say the same. Go ahead and check out Give.Mind, and then check out the Teachers Project. Every ringgit counts when you donate, and think for the kids. I mean, the kids will get it in the end.
Yeah, and I think after this initial phase, the next phase, we plan to integrate more, like you said, older teachers that's been not so accustomed to crowdfunding but getting used to the idea of it. So to the people out there, you know, think of the Cikgu Zarinas or the Cikgu Asnams that were your Form 4 or Standard 4 teachers that's been never had this kind of convenience or platform that could help them. And think of what 10 ringgit could do wonders for them. So, yeah, I think that's just the leaving last word I want to leave. Yeah.
Thank you all very much for joining me today. I have been sitting in with Cal Zhao, Felix Chong and Nazira Rosli. We've been discussing crowdfunding education, specifically via Give.my. You are listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.